Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly today, Robert Redford, 1936 to 2025.
Robert Redford has died, and I think that that would be a fitting thing to talk about today. He was certainly one of the most important American movie actors of his generation, or probably of any generation, and made a really lasting impact on the movies, and in at least three different ways. One, obviously, he was a really important actor with a very varied and interesting career. I don't think that all of his work as an actor is terrific. I think especially in the earlier part of his career, he tended to be a bit bland, a bit stiff, a bit sort of studied in his performances, but he was always gorgeous to look at, and he certainly did have a very major acting career. Also, he was a movie director, and that's very important, and a producer as well. There were a lot of movies that he made or helped get made. And then finally, he was the founder of the Sundance Film Institute and the Sundance Film Festival, which played an enormously important part in getting independent film more at the center of people's consciousness. This is more true maybe a couple of decades ago, but it remains an important place. I've been to the Sundance Film Festival myself, and I have to say it was so committed to independent film that very often the movies that most people were actually going to see simply weren't there. And a whole lot of the movies that it would showcase turned out to not be very good when you actually saw them. But the idea was a good one. The idea was to combat Hollywood, or maybe complement or supplement Hollywood with something that really focused on independent film. And since Redford was very much an established figure, a hugely major actor and producer and director, for him to champion independent movies, movies made outside or at least semi-outside the Hollywood system, was a very important thing to do. So talk a little bit about him as an actor, first of all. He had a very long career. He did a tremendous amount of acting way back in the 1960s, which is when he got started, and started to really make a name for himself. And I think his gorgeous looks had a lot to do with it. But he was in all kinds of TV shows. It's really forgotten how he wasn't always in big Hollywood movies. He did a whole lot of TV work. And then he started to do movies of various kinds and started to make really, really big splashes with some of his earlier, well, not earlier films, but some of the films he made around the late 60s and early 70s. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is one of the most famous of all, and that did so much to make his fortune that he named his institute and his film festival after the Sundance Kid, the Sundance. So that was a hugely important movie. Another film I really want to mention, because it's very, very important, is The Candidate, which he made way back in 1972. Redford had varying politics. Apparently, he was basically sort of leaned toward the left, but he sometimes supported Republicans, and he was not exclusively a leftist or liberal, although I think that was, again, his tendency. But The Candidate was a really, really interesting movie. It was made by a fascinating filmmaker named Michael Ritchie, who did a whole lot of fascinating socially critical work in his time, very often in a comic vein. Redford plays a candidate for office who is very idealistic, and he wants to get the world to sort of conform to his vision in some way, and he's very sincere about that, and he really wants to do the right thing, but his advisors get in the way, and his advisors start telling him he's got to be more cautious, he's got to be more careful, he can't go riling people up. He's got to get the votes. He's got to get the votes. He's got to get the votes. And the whole thing leads along to this very, very fascinating ending, which I won't give away right now. I really recommend people have a look at it. But this is a movie where Redford puts his personal beauty and his personal charm as an actor to excellent use, playing a candidate who himself is endowed with personal beauty and personal charm, and how this has very mixed results and in a way sort of goes over to the wrong side. So it's a fascinating critique, really, of the kind of performance that is so much at the center of modern life, not just in the movies, but in politics. Anyway, a really interesting movie from 1972. I really recommend people have another look at it. Now, he was also in a big hit movie just after that called The Sting, also The Way We Were. These are movies that I think are very nice. They're not huge favorites of mine. I don't think his performance in The Great Gatsby in the middle 70s is all that good. I think, again, it's rather stiff, rather studied, although he's well cast in the role, because, of course, Gatsby is meant to be ultimately a very artificial personality. Maybe Redford is a little bit too good at the part, but he's very good in the thriller Three Does of the Condor. I'm afraid that's been somewhat forgotten and underrated, but it's a good movie. All the President's Men, which I looked at again not too long ago, I think Dustin Hoffman gives a more interesting performance and has got a spectacular supporting cast. But Redford is very, very good in the role that he plays. And then other movies which are maybe not quite so memorable, The Electric Horseman, The Natural, movies like this, which have their kind of interest, but let's just say they're not all that exciting. There's one more movie that I really want to mention because I think it really has been semi-forgotten, and it was not a huge hit when it came out, but I think it is an amazing film, a movie called All Is Lost. This came out just a dozen years ago in 2013, and it was directed by J.C. Chandor, who also wrote it, and here is what All Is Lost is about. At the beginning of the movie, the very, very, very first beginning of it, Robert Redford is alone on a very nice boat, and the boat is sinking. And that's the whole movie. The whole movie is Redford on this boat, which is going down, and he's doing all kinds of things to try to survive, and we don't know whether he will survive. And it is absolutely marvelous, not only as an unusual movie and a very beautifully made movie, but because Redford carries the entire film all by himself and does a marvelous job. So my skepticism over his acting abilities in certain phases of his career, notwithstanding, a movie like All Is Lost really shows that he could, when he needed to, really pull out extraordinary skill and really accomplish marvelous things. Personally, I think his acting got really, really a lot better back around 1990. Havana was the first movie where I said, oh, this is a spectacular performance. Look at that guy. Look at him act. That's great. But again, I think that some of his other later films are really good. And he was just an interesting talent. And again, he used his talent in important ways. As a movie maker, I think he was more uneven. Well, let's say he was uneven in both of those departments. The first movie that he directed was way back in 1980, Ordinary People. And when I first saw it, I remember reporting on it in a radio review that I was doing at the time when I was doing stuff on NPR a lot. And there was Robert Redford. I said, I just came out of a whole screening room full of weeping film critics. I know this movie's going to be a hit. Then I saw it again at another screening, and people were laughing at it. So it was kind of interesting, the mixed responses that that movie got. But, you know, it certainly has its merits, and it has a lot of people who feel that it's a very important, and it definitely is a very sincerely made drama, whether it works or not, all the way, is another story. Then movies that I'm not so crazy about. The Milagro Beanfield War, A River Runs Through It, The Horse Whisperer, okay. Quiz Show is a good movie, not a great movie, but a good movie. So, you know, he did some good pictures and I think also some forgettable ones. I do have to mention The Legend of Bagger Vance, made right at the beginning of our own century, back in 2000. And this was a movie that was controversial. And none other than Spike Lee really attacked that movie. And I think I'm very interesting grounds. And this shows how if Redford was to some extent a political liberal, how sometimes his liberalism just somehow didn't come through or didn't work. The Legend of Bagger Vance has Will Smith playing a caddy for a white man, played by Matt Damon. And this caddy has mystical powers. And that's what the movie is about. And, you know, it's a nice little movie on many levels. But Spike Lee got really upset with this. Spike Lee said that, in fact, in the South, in the American South, when that movie takes place, as he put it, black men were being castrated and lynched all over the place. And with all that going on, why are you trying to teach Matt Damon how to swing a golf club correctly? And it's an interesting critique, I think, that Spike Lee aimed at that movie. Now, people may think that Spike was getting overwrought there and that he was really, you know, off on the wrong foot because it is just an entertainment movie. But it's an entertainment movie that is very much about race, that it's very much about the American South. And I think there's a very legitimate argument to be made that it really does not capture the realities the way a movie really should have captured the realities. So anyway, interesting little sideline, I think, and the kind of thing that one has to think about when one thinks about a serious actor, director, producer who made a whole lot of movies and had a really strong impact on the American film industry in various forms as a huge Hollywood star, but also as a great champion and supporter and booster of independent cinema. So as one writer pointed out, since Redford died, it's an interesting point, I think. When Redford was starting to build the major phase of his acting career back around the late 1960s, early 1970s, a lot of the actors around that time, the big movie actors, were not as beautiful as he. You had people like Woody Allen. Well, of course, he was mainly a comic actor, but he also, you know, did some serious stuff along the way. You have Gene Hackman. You have Jack Nicholson. Actors like this who were more, quote unquote, realistic in the way they portrayed people and the kinds of characters they portrayed and in the way they looked. They weren't beautiful. Of course, they had movie star charisma or they wouldn't have been movie stars, but they weren't beautiful. Redford was. But the thing is that as time went along, in my opinion, again, not at the beginning so much, but as things developed, he really, really managed to bring a certain kind of gravitas to his work, maybe even despite his great beauty as a person and the way he looked. And he managed to really hold his own at a time when the fashion was, again, for people who seemed maybe less beautiful than Redford in the major roles up there on the big silver screen. And, you know, a lot of people feel that his pure beauty, his great degree of handsomeness, which of course he's got a lot of competitors for that. There's a whole lot of people that he used it in all kinds of other interesting ways as well. I've already mentioned All the President's Men, which is a really good movie and a very powerful political movie that really, I think, still looks really good today, made back in 1976. And it's very relevant to a lot of the stuff that's going on right now. And he played the great journalist Bob Woodward. And Dustin Hoffman played the other great journalist, Carl Bernstein. And they were an interesting pairing, you know, buddy movies. Were very fashionable in the 1970s. And in fact, Redford and his very close friend Paul Newman had a lot to do with getting that trend going and sustaining it for quite a while. But there you had an interesting kind of a buddy movie because you had gorgeous Redford. And again, this more quote-unquote realistic kind of actor, a scruffier kind of actor, an actor who isn't really, really beautiful, namely Dustin Hoffman, playing off each other, playing against each other. And so you had a movie here in All the President's Men that was a very political film, but not exactly a partisan film. It was in some ways, but in other ways it wasn't. It was based on real historical things that had gone on very, very recently when that movie came out. And you had this, in a certain sort of a way, odd couple of Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman working against each other, working off each other, and working with each other, and making just a really, really interesting pairing. Fascinating stuff, I think. So Redford had a very interesting career, and his death has had me thinking about some of the things he accomplished and some of the things he didn't accomplish. Again, I think that his career would have been better if he had maybe taken on more of the really, really, really major, difficult roles. He very often seemed to be in roles that came very easily to him. He was not one of these actors who went back and forth between the movies and the stage, or between movies and TV and the stage. Again, he did a whole lot of TV work in his early career, but he was never interested apparently in theater acting and really did devote his entire career to the movies. And that's fine. That's his decision. But he didn't have maybe that kind of versatility going for him. And again, some of his movies, which were even hits, just don't appeal to me very much. The Horse Whisperers. I mean, who cares about The Horse Whisperer, in my opinion, from way back in the late 1990s? A movie like Indecent Proposal, in which he is very interesting, but is not really that fascinating a movie. He was, of course, a huge environmentalist, and that was very, very important to his persona, to his image, and also to his real work. And some of his movies, such as A River Runs Through It, speak very much to that interest of his. And I'm very glad he did that sort of thing. But then again, I think that the movie itself, that one, and some of the other ones that maybe came out of his more personal interest in the environment, are just not among his more exciting movies. And then there are other great big movies that he did, such as, for example, Out of Africa. And then alongside that, there were the smaller movies. So in that way, he was versatile. He did big movies, he did small movies, and he did huge hits like The Sting, for example. And then he did movies that were not so well known, but that had a fascinating sort of a political content to them. I'll think, for example, of Tell Them Willie Boy Is Here, way back in the very late 1960s. Interesting movie. Redford will be remembered more, I think, for the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid kind of movie than for the River Runs Through It kind of movie. But he was an interesting talent, a thoughtful talent, and in his way, one of the major talents of the American screen. It's too bad that he's no longer with us, but to use a real cliche, his movies will be with us as long as people are watching movies. So that is my memorial story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. Today, Robert Redford, 1936 to 2025.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.